certainly for western Montana and northern Idaho, a lot of impacts on local economies as sawmills and production facilities have closed, and the supply from both private and public lands has dwindled. So I think, you know, pretty huge impacts to a lot of rural communities in the West. At the same time, a transformation of the land base that's always been kind of available for public use and largely stays that way today. So I think western Montanans and northern Idahoans are pretty fortunate in that regard. They have the privilege of using a very large private asset for public use and enjoyment in most degrees whenever they want.
And there's great debate about why the supply did dwindle, and the debate sort of goes in the simplistic form that it dwindled because the Forest Service really stopped putting timber up for sale, and another view of it is the Forest Service went to true multiple use and stopped being just a timber agency.
Well, I'm not an expert on the Forest Service, although my father spent his career with the U.S. Forest Service and the National Forest System. I'm fortunate to be the son of a forester that graduated from the University of Montana as well. So, and our daughter's the third generation here. But, I don't think that the answer is clear. That I think the national forests have always been managed for multiple uses, and you could argue now that forestry certainly is one of the multiple uses that's being undermanaged. And fire and other things have taken the place of active management in much of the national forest system.
Not necessarily by choice, but by circumstance of our changing climate and so on.
Yeah, I think to some degree that's true. Changing climate certainly had something to do with that. At the same time, private forests for a long time in the West have been over-harvested to kind of make up for the lack of supply that used to previously come from public lands. So you had this kind of confluence of social changes with the management of the national forests, which are subject to congressional and public opinion and oversight, and private forests that have been harvested at a rapid rate and now need to recover. And so as a result, there's a pinch. There's no supply, and the industry changes. But the nice thing is it's a renewable resource. Sometimes we forget that. The trees will grow back, and there will be a thrifty supply of trees coming again, and whether those are going to be used for the forest products industry or for other purposes remains to be seen.
A lot of those private forest lands in Potlatch, I think it's true of Potlatch as well, have been turned into development, that many of the timber companies have become real estate developers as well, including Potlatch.
Well, to a very small degree, in our company, we have about 1.4 million acres of timberland, and we've identified about 200,000 of those 1.4 million acres that will eventually be sold for higher values. In many cases, those are people that are going to buy 40 acres or 100 acres of land to put a private cabin on or to use for recreational purposes like skiing or hunting or other uses. And so a very small portion of the land I think will ever be developed in the sense of a housing unit or anything else on it.
But it's good for the company's bottom line, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think there's just no way that we can grow and compete and buy more timberland if we don't consider the fact that in any large block of timberland, there are going to be components that have more valuable uses than growing trees. And in order to compete for that land and own it and to provide a return to our shareholders, we have to consider that in the equation. And it isn't, you know, the higher and better use values can be captured by people that have no plans for development. We've done deals with the Nature Conservancy, with the Trust for Public Land.
Lots of conservation easements.
Conservation easements that all add, we get paid a value for that represents a complement to the underlying timber value if we've sold those rights. But I think the property still ends up in a very favorable outcome for recreational use or public use and those kinds of things. So I don't view it as simply a win-lose. It's bad for this and it's good for that. I think there's always a blend and a mix.
In terms of the industry where it is right now, with the housing industry bouncing back, timber prices are pretty good right now, and it's kind of a mini boom going on in your industry, fair to say?
Fair to say, and we think it's only going to get better. You know, housing last year was just under 1 million starts roughly in the country. If you look at the Harvard Joint Study for Housing and other econometric forecasts, it's going to take somewhere between 1.6 and 1.9 million housing starts just to keep up with demographic change, household formations, homes that are falling apart need replaced, and so on. And if we're at a little less than 1 million starts right now, we see a pretty favorable trajectory going forward with increased demand for housing, which means strong lumber pricing, strong demand for logs, and course, the wild card in that is the economy going to support that, and will interest rates and if home affordability remain sustainable for people, or will they get choked out? But so far, we think we're in the early innings of a pretty favorable return. We had one of our best years ever in 2013, and we think 2014 will be even better still.
A lot of talk about the future of biofuels. Do you see Potlatch getting into biofuels?
Absolutely. It's an emerging. There's about over 400 plants in the country, and most of those are being targeted in the area of wood pellets. And those are wood pellets for industrial production, usually to be exported currently to the United Kingdom and to Europe for coal, co-firing in a coal plant. That's kind of a tongue twister. But burned alongside coal. Europe and the UK have a mandate for 20% renewable energy by 2020, and wood pellets constitute the major source of that supply, and so there's plants being built throughout the U.S. South today for that purpose. Locally, there's projects that I think have fit. There's a new plant started in Columbia Falls, Montana, by Stoltz Lumber Company in the last year that burns wood. And, I think one of the real barriers to that and challenges we have is with the EPA and what's called the tailoring rule, and the notion that so far, EPA has determined that the carbon emissions from the combustion of wood are really classified no differently than the carbon emissions from fossil fuels like coal. And that just makes no sense to us when you have a renewable energy, a new renewable resource that can be replaced on a cycle of 50 to 100 years or even shorter than that in some parts of the country. So I think the continuation of wood biomass alternative uses for wood in addition to building products really depends on a favorable energy policy from Congress.
Everybody wants an energy policy from whatever point of view they're coming from.
Absolutely. Certainty is good, and we need one. And I think renewable energy in terms of wood and wind and solar and hydro and others all need, we need more clarification about that in terms of meeting the country's energy needs going forward.
Of course, a lot of factors going into all those decisions, but one thing for sure about your industry is it is an industry of change, and that will continue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been one of, I wouldn't say rapid change, but kind of decadal changes, whether it's employment, impacts in local and rural communities, emerging opportunities like this biomass one we just talked about. We're on the cutting edge of another one at Potlatch with the sale of carbon credits. That's a new business for us, and it's a very small one, but one that we think has potential. We have a 15,000 acre forest in Arkansas that we have set aside for the conservation of red-cockaded woodpeckers, an endangered species. We were able at the same time, because the trees are not going to be harvested in the next 100 years, we've been able to set aside and get paid for the carbon credits that are being created by the preservation of that forest. And those have a market, and the market's emerging in California. And again, it's all part of these all part of the energy standards and energy policy. So it is change. It happens all the time.
Well, I have been speaking with Mike Covey, who's chairman and CEO of the Potlatch Corporation based in Spokane, Washington. Mr. Covey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sally.